Welcome to Living the Good Life. This is Connie Farmer. I'm sitting in here without Pastor Marcia. She's going to be on the phone, and she's evangelizing in Indiana. But this is the radio broadcast ministry of Beacon of Hope Ministries. Pastor, are you there?
I am here, Con. How are you?
Good.
This is a little different, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a switch.
Yeah, it's all right. I really appreciate you sitting in there. How's the weather down there?
Oh, terrible.
Is it?
Yeah, it's 90 degrees and sunny and gorgeous.
You say that for people that are having bad weather. It's actually very nice here in Indiana. And
no.
I just left a huge family dinner. My dad has brothers and sisters, and even though dad's in heaven, we had a big family dinner today, and I got to see a lot of my cousins and aunts and uncles, and just a lot of fun. So it's really cool. And we had something very special last night up here. We had a big service. So that was really neat.
Good.
So, yeah, in Newcastle, in the town where I used to pastor.
Neat.
So that was exciting. We had a good crowd, and we had a great service and a great time together and seeing old friends and just being together and studying the Word. And I taught and preached, I guess, more than taught. So, but it was great. We just had a lot of fun. So.
Yeah, but your preaching is teaching anyway.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I taught on Naaman, which was pretty cool. And I even may mention him a little bit today. I don't know. We'll see.
Okay.
But I'm driving down the road, so this is the first traveling radio show for Beacon of Hope. So
that's
I'm
good.
On my way back to Parker, Indiana, where two of my grandchildren are playing in games tonight, and I've been doing the game thing all weekend.
Cool.
With All-Star Baseball, Little League, and it's just fun. Fun.
You sure needed this break, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's fun. It's nice to be up here and see all the relatives and be with the grandkids. I have four precious grandkids up here, and so we've been having a lot of good times. So that's what we're doing. And how are things down there?
They're wonderful. I just talked to Jeannie. She's doing great.
Good.
And I didn't talk to William yet, but I know he's the healed one. He walks in his healing.
Yes, I talked to Jeannie this afternoon. And for some of you out there that have been praying for her, she's been a vital part of our ministry for, well, almost since the very beginning, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I think she started coming to Beacon, and we were about 2 months old. So really, you can say from the beginning. And Jeannie's been going through a lot of health issues, and a lot of people have been praying for her. And the reports today were very good, and she's out of the hospital and stronger.
Yes.
So that's good news, isn't it?
Yes.
It really is.
I gotta share something with you.
Please do.
On my way, I knew the car was going to be hot when I came out today, so I just decided to start it and let it run a little bit to cool off.
Okay.
And you left, and we talked a couple times. You know, I kept feeling like God's doing something new in me, new in our ministry, new. But really, you know, of course, I focused mainly on me. And last night, you know, I went to that revival and over in Lakeland, and I just felt like there was a little bit of a change happening.
Yes,
and so. I feel like God's doing something new. And when I went to get in the car to leave, you know, my car is 10 years old.
Right.
And I swear, it smelled like a brand new car inside. And I didn't do anything.
Well, that's interesting.
So what's that? You know, I just felt like that was a sign, you know, from him saying it's going to be okay. Because, you know, who would have ever thought that I'd be doing something like this?
Right.
You know. And
hosting the show?
Well, just kind of co-hosting. I'm not really hosting. I don't feel like. Well, I guess it kind of hit me on the way that maybe I kind of am. But I prefer, my nerves prefer not to think about that part.
Okay, don't think about that. All right.
But I just felt like, you know, he was telling me this, that he's doing a new thing.
Yeah.
And so I'm really excited and can't wait to see what this whole new thing is going to entail.
Well, I really agree with you, Connie. This is a time in that a lot of people are feeling change is going on around them and in them. In fact, as I was preaching last night, I felt that myself. There was an air of expectancy of what God is going to do. Miracles, we're going to start seeing miracles like we've never seen them before. And I know they're seeing them right now in Lakeland in that big revival that's been going on now, what, a couple months or so?
I think last night was 66 days.
Okay, it's incredible, the mm-hmm. move of God that's going on in Lakeland, Florida, mm-hmm. for those of you that haven't heard about it. An evangelist by the name of Todd Bentley, they're preaching there to thousands of people every night. And, you know, what I see and what I feel in my spirit, Connie, and to our listening audience, is that there is a hunger developing in people for God,
yes.
like we have not known before in,
yeah.
in many years. There was, back in the 40s and 50s, there were great healing revivals and great crusades where lives were changed, also about the turn of the century. About 1900 to 1910, there was a lot of this going on, huge changes going on. And then there seems to have been a period of time where the average person did not seem to have that hunger, that intense hunger for God. But we are beginning to see this again. And I, you know, I'm declaring it right now, Connie,
yes.
actually, over these airwaves.
Yes.
That God is doing a new thing in each one of us. And those that will say, yes, Lord, those that will say, what do you want me to do, God, and where do you have me in your body of Christ, and what things do you have in my future, those that are saying, God, I want to hear from you, and I want to learn about you, those people, those of us, I'll say us, those of us that are seeking God like this, are going to find him in greater measure than ever before.
Wow.
I believe this with all my heart.
Yeah.
I really do.
I can't wait.
It's happening in you. Look at that, Connie. It's happening in you. It's happening in me. We see it happening at Beacon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a hunger for God's word,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's probably a sign of what's going on in our world today. The economy is falling. Everything's
yes.
falling down around everybody's head.
Yes.
And, you know,
yeah.
they just said on the news just before you called in that the gas price overall across the country for regular gas has just hit $4 everywhere, minimally.
Yes.
So.
And the average person is struggling just
yeah.
to make ends meet. It's not just those that are, you know, maybe have very low-paying jobs. The average person is struggling. Things are difficult for a lot of people, let alone the disasters that have happened. Right here in Indiana, this weekend, 22 counties have been declared disaster area, and we had some severe rain. In fact, my grandkids' games were called off yesterday. That's why we're having more games tonight, but because of the intense rain and flooding. But you know, a lot of disasters, a lot of things happening. And it's a time for us to reach out and search for God.
Yeah.
And because we need God. We need him in our lives. And a lot of times people don't feel that they need God when things are going pretty good, you know? Ever
Absolutely.
Been there?
Oh, yeah. And that's probably why a lot of those revivals kind of died down, because people started getting what they needed, or they... You know, they got it on their own, they thought, working, and they were successful, and then, you know, the depression hit, and then, you know, all those things that you could go back probably through history and track the tragedies, and then track the revivals. Because
exactly.
That's when people start searching for God.
Absolutely. And that's what's happening now. I'm
mm-hmm.
glad you brought that up. And a lot of people, Connie, feel that they're not worthy to really serve God, or they're not spiritual enough, or God can't use them because, you know, they don't know enough Bible verses, or they, you know, they've been away from God perhaps for a period of time,
right.
and they really feel like they're inadequate, and that how can God use us? And we're going to talk about that on this show today, Connie. We're going to talk about the fact that God has a plan for each of us that will seek him, and that it doesn't matter whether or not you've been to seminary or you have been in the Bible for years, or if you haven't even been in church for a long time, but yet you know in your heart that you've got a desire for God, maybe a desire that's beginning to really blossom on the inside of you. And, you know, this show is all about letting God do his work in us, especially when we feel inadequate.
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, we've got a song called Shepherd Boy by Ray Bolts that kind of leads us into that direction.
Okay.
So we're going to play that now. And are you going to stay on the line, or are you going to?
I'm staying right here.
Okay.
I'm staying and driving.
Okay,
on a
cool.
Beautiful Indiana afternoon.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Okay.
One by one, Jesse's sons stood before the prophet. Their father knew a king would soon be found. And each one passed, except the last. No one thought to call him, for surely he would never wear a crown. But when others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king, even though your life seems filled with ordinary things. In just a moment, he can touch you, and everything will change. When others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. One by one, problems come, dreams get shattered. Sometimes it's hard to understand. Like chance and circumstance, they don't really matter. Our Father holds tomorrow in his hands. And when others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king.
Welcome back.
Wow. That's a great song, Connie.
Isn't it? It just, you know how I am, weepy.
Yes.
I kept it together this time, though.
Yes. What does that song say to you, Connie?
Well, it says that God, the bottom line is that God doesn't equip the called. He equips the call.
That's exactly right.
So, you know, if you're, he'll use everybody if you're a willing vessel.
That's exactly right.
And that's it. And you just got to say, here I am. Use
David,
me, send
just
me.
Just a little shepherd boy, wasn't he?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, it does come down to saying, yes, Lord, here I am. You know, it really does. I'm just pulling off here to an exit. I think it might be a little easier to teach here a minute, Connie.
Okay.
Did you want to comment any further on that while I get my Bible? Or?
Well, as you listen to the chorus, in just a moment he can touch you and everything will change. And then, you know, sometimes dreams do get shattered, but there is a purpose and there is life after those shattered dreams. And those shattered dreams may be things that we have held as something that we wanted to do, but it really wasn't in the plan and it probably wasn't the best for us. And that's,
right.
We had our hopes built into them and that's why they feel like they were shattered.
Right.
But it's probably not what was best for us.
And exactly.
It's hard to see that through the hurt.
It really is. A lot of times we have our plan. Not a lot of times. We normally have our plan. I talked about that last night when I was preaching in Newcastle. Just so often it's our plan. I was talking about Naaman, Connie, in 2 chapter 5, and how Naaman wanted to be healed of his leprosy, but he wanted to do it his way. You know, the prophet Elisha didn't even come to the door and did not, you know, do exactly what Naaman wanted done. And so Naaman went off in a huff because it wasn't done the way he wanted. And he was told to go, dunk himself in the River Jordan, which was a dirty river, 7 times. And he'd come up, he would be healed. And Naaman, instead of doing that immediately when told, instead, he walked away mad because it wasn't the way he thought it should be, you know?
For some reason, he wanted some big show.
Yes, he did.
And it's not about pride.
Right. It's not. It's absolutely not. You know, this life that we've chosen, I'm going to Galatians chapter 5 here, for those of you that want to join me with your Bibles, and Connie, feel free to jump in here anytime, okay?
Yep.
In Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, Paul says this, and I'm reading out of my Message Bible, since this is the kind of life we've chosen, now, the kind of life is living it God's way. That's what he's talking about here. In this passage of Scripture, that God has called us to a free life and that God wants us to be controlled by His Spirit within us. And so Paul says here in Galatians 5:25, since this, that is, this kind of life where God is in control, since this is the kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads, or a sentiment in our hearts. But we need to work out its implication in every detail of our lives. Now, what that is saying is we've got to learn how to live the way God wants us to live. We have to learn how to live it in every detail of our lives. Is that easy? No, not necessarily.
No. No,
you know,
it's not.
There are times that we think, oh, okay, this living the way God wants me to, well, I've got it figured out. But the older I get, the more I realize I don't have it figured out. But I do have this part figured out, that it is, the secret is trust. The secret is learning to lean. That old chorus we used to sing a lot, Connie, learning to lean on Jesus. That is the secret to this life that God's called us to. And Paul says to us, we've got to learn to work out the implications of this life in every detail of our lives. It's something we've got to work at. I was watching Creflo Dollar this morning, Connie, in my hotel room. And, I mean, this was powerful, this sermon. It was just incredible. And I was taking notes. And what he said, in essence, was, we got to work at this. This is not something that just happens. We've got to put some effort in. We got to read our Bibles. We've got to study. We've got to choose to change our lives to conform to what God wants in our lives. But we also got to realize that His Spirit is the one who's going to do the work in us. So it sounds contradictory, but it really isn't. Because the part of the working part of it is we've got to make an effort to pray. We've got to remember to praise God in the midst of our trials. We've got to remember to pick up our Bibles and read and study and get stronger in faith. And then we've got to let God do the work in us and be willing to say, God, do something new in me, fresh. I want a fresh work of your Spirit in my life. So the rest of this verse is very interesting. I don't know if you have your Bible right there, Connie, in the Message
Yes.
Bible, where it says, that means we will not compare ourselves with each other. Why is that important?
Because God made us each different. And in His own, we're in His own sight and in His own mind, we are who we are. And He gave us what we have. You know, it's amazing. How many people are on this earth? Billions?
Right.
And every single one of us, not a single one of us is the same.
Right.
And we don't all have the same gifts. We don't have all the same anything.
Right.
Isn't it amazing? And there's more people being born with
totally.
even more new gifts.
Right. And God loves us all so much, He makes us different. If He just made us clones of each other, that would be very boring.
Yeah. Especially if they were like me. Especially if they were like me.
Oh, come on. Well, this verse in the Message Bible says, that means we will not compare ourselves with each other. And if some of you are out there doing that and saying, well, I'm not as gifted as so-and-so in my church, or I'm not as talented as this one, or I don't have the ability. One thing we want to do on this show of Living the Good Life today is to drive this point home. God has made you who you are. You're unique. You're special. You have gifts and talents and abilities that you probably don't even realize are inside of you. You have the potential in you to be a mighty prayer warrior, for instance. You have the potential in you to really be a vessel full of God's love and His joy. Maybe some of you listening have been prone to depression or anxiety. You have the ability within you, if you have Jesus Christ in your heart, you have the ability within you to overcome that depression, that anxiety, that stress. You can do it. And the rest of this verse says, that means we will not compare ourselves with each other as if one of us were better and another worse. We have far more interesting things to do with our lives. Each one of us is an original. Oh, I love that. And that's a good thing. Each
yes.
one of us is an original. And we go into Galatians chapter 6, and we skip down to verse 4 and 5. I want to read these two verses. If you're following along in your Bible, I'm in Galatians 6, 4, and 5. And in the Message Bible, Paul says this, make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you've been given. Very interesting. Now, that takes work, doesn't it?
Yes.
You may need to sit down with a notebook and say, God, who am I? You know, what gifts do I have? What abilities do I have? Maybe you could do what we call an AA, an Al-Anon, an inventory, a personal inventory. Connie, have you ever gone through any of that, been in any of those step work? Maybe you haven't.
I think I did with counseling with you.
Oh, yeah, you did. A long time ago, that's right.
Yes.
And it's important to take a personal inventory. And in AA and in Al-Anon, we learned to do that you look at yourself honestly and you say, okay, here's some things I need to work on, and here's some of the traits that I have I'm okay with that, you know? And this verse says, make careful exploration. If you're out there today with a piece of paper and a pen, why don't you write those two words down? Careful exploration of who you are. Careful exploration of who you are. And two things here, twofold. This assignment is twofold. Make a careful exploration of who you are, and the second part of it is, and the work you have been given. some of you may be sitting out there saying, I don't think I've been given any work. I don't know that I'm supposed to be doing anything. Well, if you're God's child and you know him as your personal Lord and Savior, you got a work to do. And God wants to show you what it is. And the rest of this sentence says, and then sink yourself into that. I'm going to read that whole sentence again, not stopping now to comment. And here's what it says. Make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you've been given, and then sink yourself into that. So there's three things he's saying here. First, do a careful exploration of who you are. You know, and then the second thing, what is God telling me that I need to be doing, the work you've been given? And then the third thing, do it. You know, Nike says just do it. Mm-hmm. Sink yourself into that. The rest of this verse says, don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself with others. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. Wow. Mm-hmm. You have a comment on that, Con, before we go to station identification?
Wow.
That's a good comment. All right. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. Connie and I are going to talk about this together now in just a minute, in this verse and what God is saying to us and how this applies to our life. But first, we need to do a radio station ID, and we will be right back.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, Wesley Chapel.
We're back.
We're back. All right. Connie, tell them about Wednesday night Bible study. What God's doing there.
Oh, my gosh. You talk about having a getting to know what God wants us to do with ourselves, with our minds. He is every Wednesday night, he has orchestrated breakthroughs for people.
Yeah.
Different people, sometimes same people, but just making things so aware to them that they need or problems that they have and the answers to those problems. It's just phenomenal. And we meet every Wednesday night at the Howard Johnson's on the corner of 19 and
580
Main Street, Dunedin.
Mm-hmm. And you know, we encourage people to bring their Bibles, don't we, in a notebook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And our format is really one where I try my best to teach on a level that people not only understand it but get excited about it and comment. Do we encourage people to participate?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plenty of Kleenexes there, too.
Let's say that again?
Plenty of Kleenexes there, too.
Plenty of Kleenexes. All right. Well, you know, there are breakthroughs that have been happening.
Absolutely.
A few breakthroughs have been happening. And that is what it's all about, because I don't take it lightly. Every time we go on Wednesday night, before that service, I begin to seek God during the week as to what he wants taught. We've been studying the book of Galatians, and we are on the last chapter now. And then we'll be starting something new. But the title of this series has been Discerning Good and Evil.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been an incredible time in God's Word in the book of Galatians. I have thoroughly enjoyed teaching this. And I know there's a lot of people that have been getting a lot from it. So everybody out there is welcome. And if you're in the Tampa Bay area, we have prayer meeting and some praise and worship starting at 6, but then Bible studies at 7. And we get out at 8:30.
Yes.
So it's not like it's all night. So we get out. I try my best to close around 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, all right, Connie, back to this discussion here. This is some good stuff, isn't it?
Yes.
It is. You know, when we were talking here about make a careful exploration of who you are, where is that responsibility at, Con?
It lies on us.
It does, doesn't it?
But I think that God puts a hunger in us to help kind of stimulate us if we don't already have it. He kind of nudges us. He's not forceful or anything, but he's very kind and gentle and kind of nudges. This is what I want you to do. You know, you kind of get that feeling, that tugging in your heart.
Right. Exactly. And it's sometimes it's difficult to say, you know, what God is doing in us, but the fact that we feel His presence, and that there is that drawing, basically, that drawing by God on the inside of you, and you know something's different. You know, yes. I've been saying the one word lately, and I said it again last night as a bunch of my dear friends in Newcastle and I went out to eat at Bob Evans after church, which is something we used to do quite a bit, that kind of thing, when I pastored up there. But I said the word is shift. You know, mm-hmm. And have you been hearing me say that word, Connie?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, shift, because God is doing a huge shift right now. And part of this shift is to make people aware that He wants to be involved in our lives on a daily basis. That it's not okay to just, like, put God in a little box and He gets to come out on Sunday morning when you go to church and you sit there for an hour and a half, and you get up and you leave and that's it. That is not okay with God, you know?
Yes.
Things are shifting.
Todd mentioned that last night, too. He used the word shift.
He did.
Yeah, I just laughed.
Wow.
Because
go ahead.
I just feel like we're right in the money. We've been on the money. The same thing that He's doing, we're doing.
Right.
So God is great.
Well, God's Holy Spirit speaks the same things. I've seen this through the years in ministry, because I've been in the ministry now all my life, actually. Mm-hmm. And I have seen times when I was teaching a certain concept or whatever, turn on TV, and there it was, Kenneth Copeland or Kenneth Hagin or somebody was teaching that very thing right then. And I've seen this through the years, that God's Holy Spirit, and this is why I can say with confidence right now, Connie, there is a shift going on in God's people. And there is a desire that the Holy Spirit is birthing in people for a new awareness and a new action plan, if you will, in our lives to involve God more in our daily lives. Because it said up here in Galatians, we need to work out this in every detail of our lives. And we don't compare ourselves with other people. And why is that so dangerous, Connie? Why is that so dangerous?
Well, because we're never going to be somebody else. We're only meant to be ourselves. And God loves us the way we are, not because I'm like you or I'm like somebody else. He wants me to be me, because
right.
He packed me with tools and with gifts to be able to take care of people and be who I need to be to those people that He puts before me.
That is exactly right. You know, Connie, yesterday I was my grandkids' games got rained out, and so I had my three grandsons in my car, and we went to Steak and Shake, and then we went to see Kung Fu Panda, which is, by the way, a very good movie, and it's actually very spiritual, by the way. Anyway, as we were sitting at lunch talking, we were talking about, we played a little game that we just invented on the spot. You know, my grandsons are 11, 8, and 8, so, you know, you can all imagine, the listening audience, what that was like. And we played a game that I called Favorite Things, and we just kind of went around the table, okay, what's your favorite color? And then the next person got to pick a category, you know, and so forth. And it was kind of fun, and we were realizing the differences between us, these my three grandsons, and me, and yet at the same time, we found such interesting similarities. And it was really fun, you know? And it gave me an opportunity, and maybe it's because I've got all this on my heart right now, Con, but I said, you know, boys, I want you to listen to me as your Nana Florida. That's what they call me. I said, I want you to hear something I want to say to you. And now they're all ears. You know, Nana's, instead of being silly, she's going to say something profound here, you know. And I said, God wants you guys to each realize that He created you exactly the way you are. And Chase, you're not exactly like Justin, are you? No. I'm different. I don't like this, and I like that. You know, Levi, you're not exactly like Justin, are you? And we did this, and Connie, it was ministering to me, but it was also ministering to the boys. And later, I had Levi in the car by himself, and he said something about, Nana, I am different, aren't I? I am okay, just the way I am. And I said, honey, you are perfect just the way you are.
Bless
you know?
His heart.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's had a tough time.
It's interesting here, Connie, that this passage in Galatians says, we are supposed to do something. We can't just let life happen. And I find as a pastor, evangelist, that I see a lot of people who just let life happen, Connie. You know, just, well, whatever happens, happens. And if I get stronger than God, okay. And if I get weaker, okay. And God's not happy with that.
No, he's not.
You know, he's calling for surrender. You know, I said last night in my sermon in Newcastle, you got to surrender to win. You got to get that white handkerchief out and you got to wave it and say, God, I surrender all. You do in me what you want to do in me. Make me what you want me to be. Because, God, I feel pretty weak sometimes, but I know that you can strengthen me. You know what I'm saying, Connie?
Yes. Yes. You know, I was reading before we got started here, I was reading a book that I had read once before, but you know, it's interesting how when your perspective changes, how things, you just look at things differently, you know?
Yes.
And so I'm going to have to reread this book. It's called Every Day Deserves a Chance. It's one of Max Licato's new books.
Okay.
And one of the things he said is, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Yeah.
Okay. So why do you start your day out with all this baggage, you know, and just, you know, you wake up and you just start grumbling from the very beginning that you open your eyes.
Right.
You know, and when you have that whole day, that whole gift of a whole 24 hours to be able to enjoy life. But people don't look at it that way.
No, because the devil comes, Connie, he really does. And Creflo Dollar said this morning. This was so profound to me. The devil does not make us do anything. Do you remember back in the 70s where, who was it? What was that guy? Flip Wilson?
Yes.
He would say, the devil made me do it.
Yes.
I don't, was he the right one?
Yes.
Remember that correctly?
Yeah.
The devil made me do it. And Creflo Dollar was saying this morning, the devil suggests to us. He suggests. He puts a suggestion there. You know, why don't you go do that? Why don't you this? Why don't you that? Why don't you, you know, you really should be upset about the way she just looked at you. Or the way that person acted to you, or whatever. The devil suggests, the devil doesn't make you do things. And I have said this for years, Connie, you've heard me teach it. The devil has as much power as we give him.
Exactly.
Okay?
Yep.
And when we start out our day, like you're talking about, negatively, when we say, oh, another day, and I know it's going to be horrible at work, and this awful thing's going to happen, and I'm not going to be able to get along with this one, and that awful thing is going to be there, and oh, woe is me, you know? When we have that attitude, and we start our day that way, or when that comes upon us during the day, and we give it airtime in our head,
yes,
then look out, we're headed for
trouble.
Problems,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Trouble. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about in that regard, Connie?
Yeah, because then you end up having a bad day, and it's like a fountain pouring down over. You know, if you have a bad day, then you go home and kick the dog or yell at the kids or yell at your partner or, you know, and it just festers instead of just taking control of it and seeing it for what it is.
That's exactly right. Well, I find this is so interesting that we're talking about this today on the show because Galatians 6, verse 4, that I just taught on, says this, again, I'm going to read it again. Make a careful exploration of who you are. You know, you do it. You know, mm-hmm. Take personal inventory. And for those of you that have never gone to an AA meeting or an Al-Anon meeting and don't know what personal inventory is, it is when you sit down with a pen and a paper and you go, okay, here's some of my shortcomings. Here's what I tend to do. Maybe you tend to be one of these that blows off the handle, you know, that somebody says something to you and you exaggerate it and it gets worse and you yell at everybody like you were just talking about, Connie. Or maybe you're somebody that goes into depression and or fear controls you or anxiety controls you. Take a look at that. I really want to, you know how, Connie, I've been famous for giving homework assignments through these
yes.
years.
Yes.
I want to give a homework assignment to our listening audience today and say, get out a pen, get out a piece of paper or a notebook, buy a little spiritual notebook. We encourage you to do that. And make a careful exploration of who you are part one, step one, step two, and the work you have been given. Okay, that's step two, and the work you've been given. Mm-hmm. And some people may say, Connie, what do you say to somebody who says, God's not giving me anything to do?
They're just not seeing it.
Right. And sometimes it's good to go sit down with your pastor and say, mm-hmm. Well, how do you see me, Pastor? What do you see my gifts and talents, you know, and my abilities? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Or just go to God and say, God, what do you see for my life? You know, tell me what to do. Mm-hmm. And often God will start you out with baby steps, don't you think?
Yes. We've got a song coming up. It's called His Strength is Perfect. I think this kind of falls right in line here.
By
C.C. Winans. So we'll listen to that, and then you're going to teach some more?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm going to sit right here. You know what? I am sitting at the Noblesville, Indiana exit at a little Methodist church. It's a little white church. I pulled off, and it was right here. And I'm sitting under a big tree, and it's shady. And, I mean,
it's beautiful. Hey,
praise God. So,
okay.
Yes, I love this song. Listening audience, listen to it, and then on the back side of it, we'll teach some more. So.
Okay.
Keep with your Bibles and stay with us. You're listening to Living a Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and Connie Farmer is there in the studio, and I'm on remote in Indiana.
His strength is perfect, so we
Welcome back.
Wow. Connie, I love that. I love that song.
You could just go off somewhere and just zone out on it, you know?
Yes, this is great. Well, this is what we're trying to say today. For those of you that are joining us maybe right now, you're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We're in Dunedin, Florida, and we're also around the globe with this show and with our website. And you can go to www.beaconofhopeministries. You've got to get the IEF on the end of that. beaconofhopeministries.com, and you can learn all about the ministry. It's a worldwide ministry. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and I'm actually calling in today with Connie in the show, in the radio station, and me under a tree in the exit at Noblesville, Indiana, Connie. So that's okay. But let's go back to Galatians 6 here for just a moment. And if you have your Bible, I want to finish these two verses, and then we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 4, if you want to find that place too. Galatians 6, 4, and 5 says, "Then don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself with others. Each of you must take responsibility." There's that R word, Connie, that we mentioned a few minutes ago. "Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life." I love that. At the beginning of Galatians 6 in the Message Bible, it starts out with, in verse 1, live creatively. Now, when we're creative, that word implies life. That word implies creation. And it says, in the beginning, God created, right? Mm-hmm. And then it talks about how he created light from darkness and how he created the animals and all of us. And Paul says here in Galatians 6, verse 5, each of you. Now, that doesn't let any of us off the hook, Connie. It says, each of you must take responsibility. That's that R word that we sometimes don't like, but we've got to learn to do this. We must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. That means action. That's not just talking about it, that's doing it. And doing something with the gifts and talents that God has given you. And this show today is all about that, that in our weakness, his strength is perfected. When that song we just did, when you think that you don't have the ability to go on, to even put one foot in front of the other, when you feel like you can't get out of bed because you're so depressed, or you feel like you're never going to get out of the mountain of debt that you have, or you feel like the emotions that you have control you instead of you controlling them, God would say to you today, he is wanting you to shift your attitude and make some changes that are for the best for you, and that involves you taking action and responsibility. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Connie. Let's go over there, Okay. Listening audience. And I'm starting with verse 5 in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Remember, our message, this is also Paul talking, is not about ourselves. We're proclaiming Jesus Christ, the Master. Listening audience, this endeavor, Living the Good Life, every night, every Sunday, live to you, is an endeavor that we believe in because we are proclaiming Jesus Christ to anybody who will listen. That is our goal. We want you to get stronger in the Word of God. We want you to be a prayer warrior. We want you to know what it means to trust God for your needs and see God answer your prayers. So I'm reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 about verse 5. All we are is messengers. We are errand runners from Jesus for you. That's what Connie and I are doing today on the air. We are messengers. We are bringing you something. We're bringing you good news, and we've titled our radio show Living the Good Life because it is good when you can learn to live the way God wants you to live. It's good when you can be excited about the Word of God. It's good when you can learn to talk to people about God and how much God loves them. It's good when you can begin to walk in joy and peace and love and patience and all of those good things. And he says here, all we are messengers. It started out when God said, light up the darkness, and our lives filled up with light as we saw and understood God in the face of Christ, all bright and beautiful. I'm at verse 7 now in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you only look at us, you might well miss the brightness. See, it's not about us.
No.
Honey, got to tell you, it's not about you or me.
No.
It's about Jesus in us, okay? It's about God living on the inside of us, Jesus being our personal Lord and Savior, God doing a fresh work in our lives. It's about what God's doing in us and through us. It's not about us. And then it goes on to say in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 4, we carry this message, this precious message. I forgot the adjective there. We carry this precious message around, I love this, in the unadorned clay pots of our ordinary lives. In the NIV and the New American Standard, it calls that earthen vessels. In other words, we carry this precious message inside of us. We're just the clay pot. We're just the earthen vessel that holds the good news. We're just the part that carries the love of God around to people, the joy, the peace, the patience. Where is the clay pot? Connie, growing up as a missionary's kid in Guatemala, as a young kid, we had to filter all of our drinking water. And, you know, we couldn't just drink out of the tap. It was way too dangerous. And so the water had to first be boiled, and it had to be boiled and boiled for at least 20 minutes. This was all of our drinking water. And then we had a big container in our kitchen there in Chiquimula, Guatemala, which was a big, it was a stone, actually. And what it was the water was poured through this stone. It's incredible to see. And it gradually filtered through the stone. And as it filtered through this big stone, it would take out impurities, okay? Which Jesus is the cornerstone, so this is a perfect, you know, example right here.
Sure.
And then it would filter through the stone, okay? First it was boiled, okay? Then it would be poured through the stone, and it took hours and hours to fill up a clay pot because it would filter through the stone, and then there was a big, what we called in Guatemala in Spanish, a cántaro. And what that was a clay pot, a big clay pot. And like some of us in America now put our plants in these big clay pots, we had our drinking water would filter through the stone and into the clay pot. And then it would fill up with this water, and then we could drink it. Okay? Mm-hmm. This is example. We are the clay pot. And God begins to pour his water through, and it begins to fill up our lives. And then we can dispense that into a pitcher, or we can give it out to somebody around us. So that's kind of an example here. We are unadorned clay pots, and we have ordinary lives. But he goes on to say here in 2 Corinthians 4, there's a reason for that. That's to prevent anyone from confusing God's incomparable power with us. In other words, it's the song you just played, Connie.
Mm-hmm.
It's our weakness. God becomes, he uses his strength to overcome our weakness. And he uses our circumstances to change other people. A lot of times by our lives as they watch how we handle the things that we go through. In fact, Paul goes on here, and he says, we've been surrounded and battered by troubles. Well, I can relate to that. Can anybody out there listening today? Have you had any problems, any troubles, any stuff surrounding you? I imagine you have, because these are rough times. We talked about it earlier in the show. We've been surrounded and battered by troubles, but we're not demoralized. We're not sure what to do, but we know that God knows what to do. Connie, can you say amen to that?
Amen.
We're not
glad
sure
somebody knows what to do.
Some of our circumstances. Do you have a comment about that, Connie?
I'm just glad he knows what to do.
Oh, amen. He knows what to do. We've been spiritually terrorized, and sometimes we feel that way. But God hasn't left our side. Praise his holy name. I don't know about you, it makes me want to shout. God has not left our side. Dear one out there that's struggling right now with fear, anxiety, depression, whatever it is, God has not left you. God has not left our side. He has not left our side. Praise God. We've been thrown down, but we haven't broken. Wow. We can get thrown down by life and circumstances and people and their attitudes and stuff they do to us and just whatever, whatever. But we've not been broken. We're okay. We're hanging in there. And it goes on to say, what they did to Jesus, they do to us. Trial and torture, mockery and murder. What Jesus did among them, he does in us. He lives. And that's the good news of the gospel. Our lives are at constant risk for Jesus' sake, which makes Jesus' life all the more evident in us. While we're going through the worst, you're getting in on the best. Oh, I love this. This is so incredible. And we thank God for this, that he puts his presence. He chooses, Connie, to come and live on the inside of us. You know, Old Testament days, they knew about God. They had a knowledge of him, but they didn't have him living on the inside of them. And when Jesus came to this earth, he said, we're going to change this. He said, when I go up to heaven, God's going to come down in the form of the Holy Spirit and live on the inside of you, giving you strength, giving you direction in your life, giving you purpose, giving you the ability to overcome the life circumstances that you encounter. This is the good news of the gospel. So it says in verse 16, and then we're going to go to song in just a minute. So we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace.
Wow.
Not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times. The lavish celebration prepared for us. More here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today, gone tomorrow. But the things we can't see now will last forever. Wow. And I said this in my sermon last night in Newcastle, Indiana, Connie. Only what's done for eternity will last. Mm-hmm. God spoke that to my spirit months ago, and he's been reminding me of it very much recently. Only what's done for eternity will last.
Kingdom
business.
So
we have this treasure in very ordinary bodies. We're very ordinary. You know, we're not real unusual. We're pretty ordinary. And what God says to us is, let me use you.
Yep.
Let me use you. You there, Con?
Yep.
Okay. Do you have a comment to that, or do you have an introduction to another song?
We have another song coming up called Crucified with Christ.
Oh,
Phillips,
wow.
Craig, and Dean. Goes on the same line as His Strength is Perfect.
Yes, it does. Yes. Crucified with Christ. That's learning to let God just really take control of our lives. Praise God. Mm-hmm. I'm pulling out from under the tree, Connie, and get back on the interstate here so I can get to my grandson's games, but I'm not getting off the phone. I'll come back in a minute after this song.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
To pay, and to think I
Wow.
Great song.
What? Oh, what a great song.
Yeah, it really is. Yes. But what do you think about this topic, Connie?
Oh.
It's really interesting to me that God is really beginning to say to people, it's time for change,
yes.
You know? I mean, we know we're hearing that politically, but I mean, this is a spiritual component because, you know, we are made up of spirit, soul, and body. You know, our physical body, our personality, and the spirit within you, which when you get saved and you ask Jesus into your heart, and if there's any of you listening today that aren't sure that you'd be going to heaven if you were to die tonight, that is what you need to take care of first. You need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for you, and that he loves you and has a plan for your life. And then it's very simple. You open up your life to him and say, come in. Come in and live on the inside of me and change me. You know, make me who you want me to be. And forgive me, God, for everything that I've said or done that's not been pleasing to you. It's that simple. It's decision is what it is. And when that happens and you begin this new life, and probably a lot of people listening to us today, Connie, do have the Lord in their life, you know. They probably do know him as their Lord and Savior, you know. And even with those of us that have walked with the Lord for a long time, this is a new day. Like you said at the beginning of the show today, Connie, you were right on. There is a new beginning happening. Mm-hmm. There is change in the air, you know. God is doing a new thing. And part of that is he wants us to get it through our heads that life is much more than getting up, going to work, going shopping, doing our daily things, going to the grocery, ironing, you know, watching a little TV, whatever. Life is more than that. We are spiritual beings living in a physical body, and we have a personality. And the real essence of who we are is our spiritual part, you know?
I think so many times we go through life just making the day happen, you know, just going through like a checklist, checking off the things that they have to do that day and not even paying attention to life. And, you know, you got to be present to win.
Very good.
So, excellent. You know, I really think that God's putting a hunger in people now, in everybody now, and however they interpret that hunger. If they know Jesus, then they know that they want more. If they don't know Jesus, it's an emptiness that only He can fill.
Amen.
And amen. You know, it's an awakening that needs to happen. That people, you know, when you feel like something's missing, it is missing. He is missing.
Good. Say that again to our listening audience.
When you feel like something's missing in your life, He is missing. And you just gotta ask Him in and then just hunt Him down every opportunity that you have. Chase Him.
And it's because the Word says in James 4:7, draw close to God. I quote this all the time, Connie, but I really love this verse. Draw close to God, and He will draw close to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a promise. It's a command followed by a promise. The command is you draw close to God, and then the promise is He will draw close to you. It's not a something of like maybe someday God will notice you, you know, or maybe, you know, when you get so important or whatever, or you get a position in church. It has nothing to do with any of that. You draw close to God, and He will draw close to you.
And it's not about position anyway. It's, you know, we as a culture put such emphasis on success and measuring success by money or status or whatever. But in the bottom line is none of that stuff is going with you wherever you're going.
That's right.
And
exactly.
Either place, you know, it's either going to burn up or, you
right.
know. So, you know, it's about being the best you that you can ever be.
Amen.
And the only way to be the best you is to include God in your life.
Amen.
Because we're not good people on our own.
No.
We're, you know, as hard as we try, and, you know, you hear people say, oh, they were such a nice person and stuff. And you know, and I think that people generally have good tendencies and some have bad tendencies. But the bottom line is it's not, they're not good enough when you have to be graded on God's scale.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
So,
and, you know, there's more to life. Like I was saying a few minutes ago, Connie, there's so much more to life than just getting up, going to work, or living your life. There
right.
is a joy and a peace that you can find in God that you can't find anyplace else. There's a purpose for your life that you can't find anyplace else, but that purpose that God created you for. You know, God created every one of you listening today for a reason. Have you fulfilled your destiny? Probably not. You're still alive. There's more that God has for you to do, you know? And when He feels like you've completed it, then He'll take you home, you know?
Yeah.
Then He'll take you to be with Him.
Just think about all those people that are waiting to be in your life, some way or another, to cross your path. So that they can benefit from what you have to give them.
Amen.
You have a mission. You have something you've got to deliver to so many people that cross your path, so many people that you, even if it's just a smile in passing, you know, and if you miss that because you're in a grumpy mood or you're, you know, you get up on the wrong side of the bed and, you know, you don't, you just don't have that peace, then, you know, you're missing, those people are missing out as well.
Absolutely. You know, I've been very aware of that lately, Connie, just what you just said, the smile, or that touch that we have in people's lives that mm-hmm. a lot of times we don't even realize, you know, how profound that really is, you know?
Yeah, we'll never know. You know that song that Ray Bolts sings called Thank You, when he is in heaven and people he meets in heaven that somehow or another he affected their life.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're not going to know until we get there. And all these people that we've never seen before are going to come up to us and say thank you.
Right. Exactly. Yes. Absolutely. Praise God. Praise God. Well, there's just so much that we can talk about in this subject, but I think that we need to reiterate to everybody listening today that you have to take responsibility for your own spiritual growth.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get in there and study the Word. You know, you have to take time to take that personal inventory like we've been talking about today. And look at your own strengths and weaknesses. If there's weaknesses, there's areas you need to work on, then you go to God and you say, God, I don't know how to do this. I really have no idea, no clue, but you do. So could you please help me here, work on these areas of my life that I know need work, you know?
Yep.
Is there a song you have right now, Connie?
It's a little early yet.
Okay.
But we do have a song coming up, Talk to Jesus by Kathy Ciccoli.
Oh, that's a great one, too.
Yeah.
But that goes along right now with what we're talking about, Connie.
Yeah.
This talking to Jesus. And because I think a lot of us get it in our heads that we aren't worthy, which we've talked about today on the show,
mm-hmm.
that we aren't spiritual enough or smart enough, or we don't know how to pray correctly. You know, as I've been a pastor for many years now, I have tried to emphasize to people that praying is just talking to God. It
mm-hmm.
doesn't have to be anything fancy, you know?
Yes.
It's just saying, God, you know, I need to talk to you about this. And some of my people kind of laugh when I tell them how I pray, but I pray that way, you know? I really do. I say, God, let's have a talk here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I need to tell you, this is what's going on, and this is what I'm feeling, and this happened, and I'm feeling kind of like this, and, you know, I'm a little confused about this. You know what I'm saying?
What do people say when they say, well, but if he's God, he knows what you're feeling, you know, why doesn't he just already know?
Well, he does know, but
he, all through
the Word, he tells us to tell him.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah, he knows.
Plus, I think...
all through the Word, he says, tell me, pray.
Right.
You know?
And I think that it's kind of a cleansing, too, to be able to just pull up a chair and say, God, I need to talk to you, and this is going on, just like you said. But it's like you're talking to your dad. You know, when you take a problem to your real dad, your biological dad, you know, it's like kind of unloading it, or, you know, sharing the burden.
Yes.
You know, when you have a problem that you know your dad can fix for you. But
right.
So it's even more powerful when you think, and usually, you know, we don't take those little things. We take the big things to God.
Right.
But really, he wants all of it.
Well, there was one verse we read when we were studying Galatians earlier in this show when it said that God wants to be involved with the details of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard people say for years, Connie, well, God doesn't care about those details. I mean, I don't want to bother him. I can't even begin to tell you how many times I've heard people say, well, I don't want to bother God with the details. Well, then you're just missing out on a big, huge blessing, because God wants to be involved with the details of your life. That's his desire.
He's
not in any way wanting to miss out on those details, you know?
Yeah, I think he wants to be involved in everything as much as we want to do it. He'll just, you know, even if we're just chattering, la 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 la, you know. I mean, I think he just sits there and listens and smiles.
Yeah.
That's my girl.
Yes, that's right. And so for those of you that have really, you know, been listening today intently, God is saying, we need to fight this unworthiness stuff that so much of us feel, that we're not worthy to go to God and talk to him about the details. And we need to get a handle on the fact that God does have a job for us to do. He's got details that he wants to perform in our lives. He wants you to become all you can be in him. He has a goal for you. He's got a desire for you. And he wants to accomplish that in your life. And it's not okay just to sit back on our hands and say, oh, someday I'll get around to serving God. It's time to shift our attitudes now and become exactly all that we can be for him. That is his desire for us.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's listen to Kathy Tricoli sing, and then we'll come back and wind things up.
All right. We'll do it.
Okay.
When no one you know will listen, and nobody seems to care, that the love you need is missing, you've looked everywhere. When your heart is undercover, and you're sinking like a stone, talk to Jesus, talk to Jesus, when this whole world is more than you can bear. Talk to Jesus, talk to Jesus, when no left to call, he's always there. Talk to Jesus. When you're scared your life is over, or you've never lived at all, and you trade it all for a place to fall, 'cause you're weary of the journey, and you know you've lost your way, and you doubt you'll hear an answer if you dare to pray. Talk to Jesus, talk to Jesus, when this whole world is more than you can bear. Talk to Jesus, talk to Jesus, when no one's left to call, he's always there. Hearts always break, and our ordinary dreams will sometimes slip away, yet somehow we remain a word away from heaven.
Are you there?
Yes. Boy, I love that song. And boy, that's what we've got to do. You know,
She just tells it like it is.
Everybody listening, they would just get a talk to link.
Yep. I mean, she just listed it right out there. If you're scared your life is over or you think you never lived at all, talk to Jesus.
Yeah.
He'll give you a life worth living.
Exactly. Well, I really hope that our listening audience, all of you out there today, have caught a new excitement for being in the plan and purpose of God in your life, and that maybe you've caught a new purpose for it, and you begin to see, yeah, God does have something for me, and I got to quit beating myself up, and I'm not a failure if I'm not like so-and-so. And that you'll quit comparing yourself to somebody else, but you, instead you'll allow God to show you where you fit in the body of Christ and what his plan and his purpose is for you, and that you'll accept yourself, you know, accept yourself right where you are, and realize, like we read in Galatians, that each one of us is an original, mm-hmm. and God made you exactly the way you are for a reason. God's got a plan for you and a purpose for you. And really, that theme has been a part of our show from the beginning, hasn't it, Connie?
Yep.
We're on radio broadcast number 61 today.
Yep.
So that's really cool. And that's been a theme. But we're really stressing it today because I really believe that in this end time, God is saying to us, become what I want you to be. Find out what I want you to be. Do it. Begin to seek it out. And then it said in 2 Corinthians, or was it Galatians, sink yourself into it. You know, when you figure it out and you begin to say, okay, God, I see, you know, sink yourself into it. In other words, get involved in God's plan for your life. Take it on. Learn it. Find out about it. And let it become a part of you, and let him live bigger in you than ever before. Those
Amen.
Are kind of my parting words, Con.
Yeah, I would add to that, you know, we're not perfect. I've never been perfect, but I am forgiven.
Amen.
And so every time I screw up, I ask for forgiveness. Well, at least almost every time. Sometimes I don't. But I'm working on that, too. And every day is a new day. His mercies are new every morning.
Amen.
And, you know, you just got to walk in forgiveness.
Absolutely. In fact, I think we'll be talking more about that subject this Wednesday night at Beacon of Hope. So people are invited at 7 o'clock. We'd love to have you if you're in the Tampa Bay area. Howard Johnson's is where we're meeting right now, and that is at the corner of U.S. 19 and 580 on the west side of the street right beside the Kia dealership. And we welcome you. 7 o'clock, we'll get out about 8:30. Bring your Bible, bring a notebook. Come ready to learn and study God's Word.
Yep.
Those of you that are not in the Tampa Bay area, tell a friend about this radio broadcast every Sunday at this time. And now you can actually watch us in the radio station today, or studio. Today you've seen Connie in there on your computer, but next week I'll be back there, and I'm excited about it. And we had a wonderful ministry meeting last night in Newcastle, Indiana. God gets all the glory and the praise. It was fantastic. I love sharing the word with those good people, many of them who have been a part of my church when I pastored in Indiana. 7 years back in the late 80s and early 90s. So anyway, God's doing a great thing.
We're winding up.
God bless you all. Join us next week. Thanks, Connie. You're great.
Thanks.
He's always there. Loving arms are open wide. Close your eyes and he will lead you safely to his side. There's no need for you.
WTAN Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF Dade City, Zephyr Hills, Wesley Chapel.
CNN Radio, I'm Mary Ellen Hopkins. More pain at the pump for motorists. Gasoline prices inched up again today. Industry analyst Trilby Lundberg blames high crude prices.
Between last Thursday and Friday, that was the biggest crude oil price jump in history, nearly $11 per barrel, which has not worked its way through to consumers.
And CNN's Christy Henry reports motorists better buckle up because gas prices could go higher.
The American Petroleum Institute tells us on average the state gas sales tax is at 28.6 cents a gallon, and in some states that number is about to go up even higher. Minnesota will see a boost this year, so will Connecticut, Florida, North Carolina, West Virginia, Kentucky, and Maine. An increase was scheduled to take place in Georgia on July 1st until Governor Sonny Perdue decided to halt it in an effort to provide relief to families who are struggling with the record high gas prices. Christy Henry, CNN.
Gasoline is up about 21 cents a gallon the past 3 weeks to just over $4 a gallon. Arson is suspected in the massive fire at the Texas governor's mansion today. Fire Marshal Paul Maldonado says damage was extensive.
The roof has somewhat collapsed. There's two roofs on there. We've got a lot of damage at the entrance and fire damage. We've got smoke and water damage throughout the entire building.
Governor Rick Perry and his wife are not living at the mansion because the 150-year-old facility is being renovated. Hundreds of residents have been forced from their homes in Indiana by widespread flooding.
I've never seen anything like this. I don't know where to go.
Severe storms dumped up to 10 inches of rain in the region, sending rivers over their banks. The storms are blamed for at least three deaths in the Midwest. A powerful explosion at a mine in eastern Ukraine. Four workers above ground were hurt, and about 37 miners are trapped thousands of feet underground. A rescue effort is underway. The most trusted name in news, this is CNN Radio.